All right. If you will you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? We're going to start in Romans chapter 12. And that little video was a reminder that Operation Christmas Child is coming. And that if you choose to do so, you can participate in that. For every shoebox, there's a story like that. And so I want to encourage you to do that and to participate in that if you can. Let's go to the Word and to the Lord in prayer before we get started here. Father, I do thank you for today, and I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you. And Father, I pray that you will help me to become less and less, and for you to become more and more. Please allow your Spirit to speak through me to the hearts of those that are here, so that we can walk away refreshed and renewed, and some of us changed. Lord, we do thank you for all that you're doing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just start by saying that we're kind of in this series. We're actually done with this series about worship. And the reason that we started the series was because our worship leader, our longtime worship leader, was having some health problems, and she was no longer able to lead our praise band, praise team. And so she had to quit doing that. And so over the past 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about what worship is and what worship isn't. And we've learned some things about worship. We've learned about music. And so this week is going to be our final week in worship. And next week, we're going to have a new worship team that is going to lead us in worship. With that said, we've talked about worshiping in spirit and in truth. We talked about worshiping in spirit means that we do it with our whole being, with our mind, emotion, and will, that we do it with our body and with our soul. And the third part of us is the spirit. And until we have those things submitted to God, then we can't truly worship in spirit. We also talked about worshiping in truth and how if our worship doesn't start and end with God's word, the words that we say, that we're not really worshiping. Today we're going to talk about how worship isn't really music at all. That one of the ways that we worship is through music, but worship is not necessarily something that we sing or something that we play or something that we... It's something that we do. It's the way that we live our lives. And so Romans chapter 12 is a great book of the Bible. I'm going to say it's one of my favorites. Some of you have heard that every week that I preach, but it is. And man, if you've got some, if you want to memorize some verses, these are excellent verses to memorize. Look at verse 1 with me, and then I'll give you the context before we go any further. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brother, in the view by the mercies of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Now, I've got this memorized in a different version than what you see on the screen, and so every once in a while, I'm going to go back to that version, okay? But let's just talk about this, and I want to give you some principles of good hermeneutics before we continue on. A principle of good hermeneutics is this: whenever you see the word therefore, ask the question, what is therefore? Therefore, okay? And if you haven't heard that, you probably will eventually. But basically, what therefore is going to do is therefore is going to tell us that something over here happened, there's something going on, and therefore we need to do something different. Okay? Yeah, it's kind of like the teenage girl that had a boyfriend break up with her, and she used to love him and cherish him, but he cheated on her. Therefore, she no longer loves him anymore. And if all you got was that she doesn't love anymore, you wouldn't know the background, right? And so whenever we hit a therefore, we ask the question, what is therefore therefore? And so I'm gonna kind of fill you in on what therefore is therefore. Now, we're in chapter 12, so there's a lot of information I'm going to give you kind of the generals instead of the specifics. And I want to do that. The first evangelism method I learned was called the Romans Road. And the book of Romans was written by Paul, and it was written to the church at Rome. And he wasn't the planter of that church. A lot of the other Pauline epistles that we have, he actually planted the church, and so he knew the people, and so he gives them pieces that they need to incorporate into the church. But with Romans, what we have is this great big overview of what the church should be, because he didn't, I don't know if he knew where they were really coming from. He just knew there was a church there, and he needed to give them information. And so he is going to lay out where people start and where they come to. And so I learned the Romans Road. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And the book of Romans starts off with this principle that mankind, human beings, men and women are sinners, and they're apart from God. Now, sin is simply anything that we say, think, or do that is contrary to the nature of God. Okay, so if God is truth and we tell a lie, we have missed the mark and we have sinned. Okay, so the first part of Romans starts with the premise and the principle that all people are sinners. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So it says not only is there sin in the world, but there is a punishment for that sin, and that punishment is separation from God for all eternity. When it says death, there's a separation there, and that separation is the soul and the spirit from the body. When someone dies, they're separated from their body, but their soul lives on. Okay? So the problem is, if we don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, not only is there a separation of the body from the spirit and the soul, but there's also a separation from God. Okay, if a person dies in the state of sinfulness, God is perfect and he's holy and he lives in heaven, and I don't want anything in here that will taint heaven and ruin heaven. The earth is ruined enough. We can't have any sinfulness in heaven. Not that God doesn't love us, but it's that God wants to keep that sin out of heaven, and so we are separated from God in a place called hell. Okay? But God has a wonderful plan. In Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not Romans 10:9-10, is it? That's 1 John, okay. Well, maybe you guys should be up here preaching. I apologize. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay, so what he's saying is this, that there's a couple body parts here. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. So it's something that we say, but it's not something that we just say. It's something that we believe with our whole heart. Okay, now confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Okay, what does it mean to make Jesus Lord? If you make Jesus Lord, you choose him to be in control and in charge of your life. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What are you saved from? You're saved from your sin and you're saved from hell. Okay, so that is what Paul has talked about up to this point. A little bit more specifically, in chapter 11, he's talking about the Gentiles being a part of the church, and he's asking the question, "Hey, look, does that mean the Jews are out?" And he says, "No, may it never be. The Jews, God wants to save them too." But it's this idea of, "Hey, you're a sinner. There is a way that you can get away from your sin. That way is through Jesus Christ. And it's not something that we just get, but it's something that we do. God gives us the ability to do it, but we confess Jesus as our Savior and our Lord." Okay? And then he gets to chapter 12, therefore. Okay? Now that we know all this, once you become a Christian, therefore, there's something that you need to do. Okay, so up until then, he's instructing Christians what their life used to be like, and now he's going to talk about what your life should be like. Okay, so Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, let's start with the worship part, since that's what we're here for. We're here to talk about worship. What is worship? Worship is giving God the honor that he's due. Okay, so one of the things that we're supposed to do once we know Jesus is Lord and Savior is to worship God. That is our primary responsibility, okay, to worship God, to be in relationship with him and to worship him. You say, well, Pastor Tim, I'm not a very good singer. I've got great news for you, okay? It's not about singing. Let's look at this verse and let's kind of get the context. But before, and as we do that, each word is important, okay? And so we're going to look at a couple of these words, and we're going to look at them in depth so that we understand this verse. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. When he uses this word urge, he's talking about, like, he's pleading with them, he's exhorting them, he's giving an earnest request, and he's imploring them. Hey, you want to know what you need to do with your life? This is what you need to do. Get off the bench. Get in the game. Start doing this. This is an urging. This is like from his heart. He's saying, this is what Christians need to be about. And this is what Christians need to be doing. I urge you by the mercies of God. Okay? Now, again, mercies of God. This is like a double urge. He's urging. He's like, man, this is really important. If you want to be about Jesus, this is what you need to do. And he says this, to present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, this is a present for a child in another country, and we don't know where this is going yet, but it's going to be a present. Is this when he talks about present your body? He's not completely talking about, but he's talking about giving it. He's saying, hey, once you know Jesus, you need to give your body as a sacrifice to God. Okay? You need to give your body as a sacrifice to God. Look what he says. Present your bodies. When he's talking about bodies, he's talking about the physical part, but he's also talking about the whole thing. He's like, hey, if you want to worship God, it requires that you give him everything that you have. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice. Now, let's talk about a sacrifice first, and then we'll go back to the living and the holy. But a sacrifice, remember that that Paul is Jewish. And in the Old Testament, they would make sacrifices to God. And they would bring an unblemished lamb that was 3 years old. There was multiple sacrifices, but this is one of them. They would bring that sacrifice to God. And the priest would lay the lamb out. And the person presenting the sacrifice would put their hands on the head of the sheep. And the temple was more of a slaughterhouse than anything else. And with your hands on the head of the sheep, the priest would cut the throat of the lamb and the blood would run out and they would burn the body of the animal upon the altar. Okay? Now, couple neat things. First, this, that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Okay? And that Jesus came to be the sacrifice to pay the death penalty so you and I didn't have to do that. Okay? But the sacrifice gave everything. Right? The sacrifice didn't walk away. Right? The sacrifice ended their life for the sake of another. Now, when God says to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, that's pretty neat, isn't it? That he doesn't want you to sacrifice your child upon the altar. He doesn't want you to jump off a cliff And we see all sorts of religions where people are sacrificing their bodies, their selves, physically, and they're dying to please some God somewhere. And God says, hey, if you want to please me, you need to be a sacrifice, but not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. You need to live for me. Okay? Not only is it a living sacrifice, but it is a living and holy sacrifice. The three-year lamb, the male, the unblemished lamb, was a perfect sacrifice. Now, the Bible says to be holy because I am holy. It's God speaking, and he says, be holy because I am holy. And holy means to be set apart. It means to be pure. Okay? And what God is saying to us is, hey, if you want to live your life for God, and you want to worship him, if you want to be a sweet aroma in his nostrils, then you need to be a holy and living sacrifice. Okay, now, we have some bowls in our kitchen. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we had all plastic cups and plastic bowls and plastic plates. And the plastic plates had some knife marks in them where we had cut things. But you know why we had plastic? Is because we had little kids. And little kids aren't always real careful with stuff that's breakable. And so we've got plastic stuff, so when they chuck it up in the sink and it clatters down, it doesn't break apart. Well, like 3 years ago, my wife is like, I am sick of plastic. Okay? I would like something that is nice. And so I went to the store for Christmas 1 year and bought her some nice plates and bowls and cups. And right now we have all stoneware and glass cups and everything. We have some bowls and some cups and some plates that have chips in them. Okay? Obviously, we didn't wait long enough. Our children, teenagers, cannot take care of that. And honestly speaking, I've done a couple too, okay? Now, I don't throw the bowl away when it chips. Mostly because I'm cheap, okay? But also because it still has value. It still works, right? And it doesn't matter the size of the vessel. It doesn't matter if it's chipped or if it's cracked. I still use it. Now, I will not use a vessel that is dirty. If I like go to get a bowl of chili, and I get a bowl out, and there's already something stuck in there. I'm like, nuh-uh, I'm not, we wash our dishes in between eating out of them, okay? I know there's some bachelors that probably don't. They just kind of put the plate in their refrigerator and pull it back out later and keep using it. I'm not a bachelor, okay? The same is true about God. That you may have some chips in your life, you may be broken, God can still use you. And God will use a broken vessel, and he'll use a chipped vessel, but he will not use a dirty vessel. The cool thing about God is that he's willing to clean you out and put you to work. We came from Alaska, and in Alaska, it is not humid. We humidify our houses. Otherwise, we get electric shocks and things dry out and all these things. In Hawaii, you do not need to humidify anything. You need to dehumidify. And what happens is when you quit using something for a while, it gets nasty. It goes bad. I was in my desk drawer earlier this week, and I found a wallet that I brought here from Alaska, and when I quit using it, it was only about 10 years old. And I paid like 10 bucks for it, so that was like a dollar a year, right? I told you I'm kind of cheap. I got a new wallet, but I didn't throw the old one away because it's still good. I mean, I might use that someday. Well, I pulled it out of the drawer, and I don't even want to touch this, really. You see that? That is disgusting, okay? You know what? Did something fall off of that?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to set it down because it might walk away, you know? You know what happens when we quit being used by God? You use it or you lose it. Now, I know that a lot of you aren't here.